Revelation chapter 12, we noticed in verse number 1, the first great wonder that John saw at this point in the book of Revelation, in God's visions, God's revelations to him, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And then we have a second great wonder. And there appeared another wonder, an amazing sight in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. So we've been looking over this chapter the last couple of weeks or so. And I thought as I was studying for this week, we probably need to pull the handbrake on and spend a Sunday school lesson hour talking about what God has revealed about Satan. Now, I have never found what other pastors say they find at any time they teach or preach on what the Bible says about the devil, that they come under terrible oppression. And I say to preachers that I think that our focus needs to be on the Lord Jesus being triumphant, that his blood defeats the devil. And when that's the case, we don't suffer from oppression in looking at this. But I want to mention to you in this regard that when we read in Revelation 12 and we look at the war in heaven where the devil and his angels attack God, it's a good thing for us to do so very cautiously, not in any manner presuming that we have authority over the devil. We do not have authority over the devil. Even Michael the archangel, God's fighting angel, would not dare to rebuke the devil when they disputed about the body of Moses. But he said, "The Lord rebuke thee," or "The Lord reprove thee." And so we need to exercise caution. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, if you're not already there, and verse 11, because the Lord tells us here that we are not to be uninformed, that we are informed, and we do know much that God has told us about the devil. He is a real spirit, a real person, in the sense that he is a fallen angel. And you'll notice here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. One of the devil's devices, probably his great objective, is to get an advantage of us, to do us harm, to get leverage on us. Now, the scripture tells us in Ephesians, neither give place unto the devil. Don't give him an opportunity. Don't let him have an opportunity. But we are not ignorant of the methods he uses. So we're going to look over this in our notes this morning. We know his work in Genesis chapter 3, his origin, his fall, his nature. We know of his warfare, and we know of his destruction. Let's have a look at these verses in our notes there. His first appearance to man was in the garden. We don't know how long Adam and Eve had been in the garden, whether this was the eighth day after the day of rest, the seventh day, or was this sometime later. But the scripture tells us here, now the serpent was more subtle. He was crafty, more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. He loves to deceive. He loves to tell half-truths. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. It's interesting, as we read these verses, the devil likes to take away from the word, and Eve made the mistake of adding to the word. Neither one of those are we supposed to do. Verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. And here is an outright lie. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And of course, he does not tell all the truth there. In losing their innocence to gain a conscience, they would lose a great deal more. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. See, the word beguiled is the equivalent of deceived or seduced me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now maybe we should stop just a moment here. We're going to be pressed for time, but can you point out to us some important truths in this passage of Scripture that teach us some things about the devil, what he sees to be his work? Just make a statement. Can you tell us something? All right, question God. That's one of the things he loves for people to do. He did that with Job. He did that with the Lord Jesus in the temptation. Makes us think, or would like us to think, that he knows better. Twists the scriptures. Did you notice that he likes to use other creatures? He used the serpent. And it wasn't the devil appearing as the devil, but we expect that he used the serpent as a spokesman, as an instrument. What more did you see? Always, 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 always. Good point. Wayne? Always. And that goes with destruction, doesn't it? Yes. Anything else? Lies about the consequences. Withholds from us information about the full results of disobedience to God. You're right. Sorry? Hides the truth. Let's go down to the second point here. We talk about we know his origin, Ezekiel 28. We're going to read through this, and I want you to take note in the first line there, the phrase, the prince of Tyrus, and then down toward the bottom, the third last line, the king of Tyrus. I'm going to suggest to you that Satan often rules over men. And in this case, Satan is referred to, as we get further down in the text, as the king, and the prince of Tyrus would be the ruler over the city of Tyre. So there's this tremendous influence in political areas. We see it all the time. We see it here. We see it overseas, where there's a terrible, wicked ruler in the heavens, in the atmosphere, in the air, that loves to control men on the earth. Let's read through these verses. Verse 2 of Ezekiel 28. Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, Thus saith the Lord God, Because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a god. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas. Yet thou art a man, and not God. Though thou set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. I wonder if this man was wiser than Daniel, or thought he was wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches, and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. That was certainly true of the prince of Tyre. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic, this is the merchandise, the mercantile center of the ancient world, Tyre is. Hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Here's the pride of this man. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore I'll bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man, and no God in the hand of him that slayeth thee. Thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. Now, I put a gap here because it appears, we believe, that the focus turns from this prince, an earthly man, to the king that rules over him. So follow along. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes, was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Now the prince was not created, he was born. But Satan, Lucifer, created without sin initially. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. God gave him his position in heaven originally. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I'll bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. So we see something here about his origin. God created the devil, but not as an evil angel, as a holy angel, the anointed cherub that covereth. Many Bible students have suggested that God on his throne, with the angels flying around the throne, we read in Isaiah chapter 6, that Lucifer was the highest of all of those angels and hovered over the throne of God, even leading the choirs of heaven to sing, had all of these musical instruments as a part of his makeup, all of the beautiful stones, but he was lifted up with pride. And then we come to the fall of Satan in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14, where the Lord says in verse 28, look in verse 28 of Ezekiel 28, it was verse 18 of verse Ezekiel 28, 18. I think I got that right. You see that verse? It says, where the Lord says, in the middle of the verse, will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee? It shall devour thee, and I'll bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And so the Lord talks about his destruction. And then look in Isaiah 14, because we have a further description of the fall of Lucifer. That thou take up this proverb against the king of Babylon. And here again we have the king addressed, the king of Babylon, and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased? The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and scepter of rulers. Nope, I'm going to have to change what I said to you I'm wrong about that, what I told you a minute ago. Because in this case, we have Babylon's king. I've done that pretty poorly there. And you have Lucifer up here ruling over Babylon's king. And so we see there in verse 5, the Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers, he who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke. He that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted, and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee. And the cedars of Lebanon saying, since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against us. And that word feller means someone that cuts a tree down. He fells trees. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. And it hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave. One thing we notice is that the devil is never put in the grave. But this is talking about an earthly king, Belshazzar, or whoever it's referring here to. And the noise of thy vials, the worm is spread unto thee, and the worms cover thee. But then we get to verse 12, and we see who is ruling over the king of Babylon. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, the light bearer? Scripture talks about in 2 Corinthians, it says that the devil and his apostles are transformed into angels of light. So they appear to be light, but they're actually darkness. O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. If you're marking your notes at all, if you write on them, mark that first I will. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. And this is the most striking one. I will be like the Most High. And then the Lord says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. There are five, I think, five I wills, five ambitions, five aspirations of the devil, all intended to rebel against God. But I believe, if I remember, I didn't mark them in my notes this time, that in Ezekiel and Isaiah, there are seven I wills that God says, I will bring you down, I will cast you to the earth. And the Lord says over and over, he gives us these firm promises. One thing this does for us as Christians is that it says to us that we know that the Lord is triumphant and the devil cannot win. We need to have that ever so clear in our hearts, that the Lord is the creator, the devil is a creature, and he is not greater than the creator. God has all power and all authority and all might, and he will prevail. Let's stop there a minute. We're doing okay, I think, on time. So what sort of insights, what sort of questions, what sort of things that we haven't touched on have you seen that we ought to take note of? Wayne? That behold thee. And we wonder how you could bring Satan to ashes upon the earth. Into the bottomless pit, or into the bottomless pit initially, and then into the lake of fire, yes? That is a really good question. I don't know the answer. I used to think that the devil himself possessed the person that we call the Antichrist when he claims to be God. But reading it over, as we were looking in chapter 11 last few weeks ago, we noticed that Abaddon or Apollyon came out of the bottomless pit, and we wondered if there is an evil spirit out of the bottomless pit where the devil has never been incarcerated that takes possession. So it's probably not referring to the Antichrist being destroyed in the Battle of Armageddon. That's not the time that the devil is brought down to ashes. So I have to say, I don't know. Does anyone have any light on that? Does anyone know about that? I don't know. Yes? You can't turn a spirit to ashes as far as we know. Well, that's what we were thinking about the Antichrist, but we don't know that the devil indwells the Antichrist. One of the evil angels certainly does, we think. False prophet? Yep. A poetic description, and there are those in Scripture. If we say to someone, you're toast,
We don't literally mean that they're bread that's been on the in the toaster.
Turn to ashes. That's a possibility. Les? We see it all the time. Brother Floyd often quotes to me the words of Don Howard, that was, I think, the founder of ACE, when he talked about the seeds of destruction. Some of our folks know that phrase, but would you tell us that? Do you remember that?
The seeds of destruction are present at the beginning of any organization.
So when the devil sets up what he thinks is going to be his empire on the earth, the seeds of destruction are sown in the beginnings of that evil empire.
Because man is not perfect. There's got to be some area that it's going to come back like a boomerang.
Yep. That is just like Les says, that you see it in politics, but you see it in business as well, that a business will start. You see it in churches, yep. You see it in homes. You see, you know, just everywhere you look, there is this, the effect of the fall in everything in the world, is there, except God's work in the heart, that's his work. Yep. Doesn't that agree with Revelation 17 and 18? I love to read these passages. Have a look with me here in Revelation 18, and we might just read from verse 8, just down for a few verses there, Revelation 18 and verse 8. Therefore shall her plagues, talking about Babylon, her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city of Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. So you see this destruction, the city of Babylon. We'll talk about that and how literal Babylon is, or what, when we come there to that chapter. But there's that concept. There's a principle at work. Let's go down to the next one so we see if we can cover all of this, because we know his nature. You know, if we can find in the Bible a verse or verses anywhere where the Lord Jesus describes something or someone, it's always perfectly accurate. It cannot be improved upon. Whatever the Lord says is precisely correct. So look with me in John chapter 8. He was facing strong opposition here from the Jews. And in John chapter 8, I just love the, what would you say, the boldness of the Lord Jesus. I guess we could say that truth can be bold because it will not overstate what is said here. You'll notice here, let's see which verse it is. It's verse 44, where the Lord says to these religious leaders that were so opposed to him, ye are of your father the devil. Now, the word "of" is talking about this is your source. This is where you come from. And the lusts of your father ye will do. So there is the family likeness. Those that are the enemies of God are like their father. The lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Well, who did Satan slay in Genesis chapter 3? The entire human race. in one fell swoop, the entire human race was brought under the effects of the curse. We're lost. There's no hope in man. We cannot do a thing to save ourselves. It was like in engineering and orchestrating the rebellion of Adam against God, the whole human race was cast into sin. And so we see that here, the murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. That's interesting, because there was a time when the devil knew the truth, but he did not abide, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh originally. I heard someone say the only way you can ever speak originally, what you say being completely original, is tell a lie. The devil told lies, and they were of his own origination. He initiated those things. He speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So here you have a murderer, a liar, a deceiver, as a description of his nature. We know what he is like. I've told you before, and tell you just really quickly, about the danger of compromise with the devil. It is so dangerous to compromise with the devil, to make a covenant of agreement, like a halfway covenant, to go part way with what he wants, is so dangerous. And it always results in harm that comes to us. Well, let's go over the page here. At the top of the page, on the last page, in every case where the devil is seen in Scripture, he is deceiving, killing, and opposing all that is good and holy. In the Garden of Eden, in the great trials of Job, chapters 1 and 2, in his opposition to Joshua, the high priest. This is one we're not as familiar with, in Zechariah, chapter 3 and verse 1, where the Lord showed Zechariah, and he showed me Joshua, the high priest. What a pause there. And remember that Joshua was the priest that came out of captivity with Ezra when he came back to build the temple. And so Joshua is a faithful man. This is not Joshua of the book of Joshua. This is another one. Showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Wow. Here is Joshua the high priest, probably in the temple, presiding there, and the devil is there to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? And then you see the devil doing the same thing in the temptations of Christ in Matthew 4 and Luke chapter 4. We need to have some messages sometimes, Brother James, when you finish dealing with separation. Oh, the three temptations of Christ. Boy, I've always given you hard things to do, aren't I? Well, then we come to Revelation chapter 12, and we know about his warfare. That's what we were looking at in Revelation chapter 12. His attack against God and his saints in heaven is consistent with all his evil works since the fall of man. He's always at enmity with God. And that's what we've noticed. I gathered these scriptures together and fitted in the last point that we were looking at in our notes last week, the great red dragon. There's no doubt who this is. Look in Revelation 12 and verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. He is called a wonder, the dragon is, in verse 3, Revelation 12, verse 3. There appeared another wonder in heaven. Note where he does most of his work, possibly in the air surrounding the earth. Kenneth Wiest says that there are two words used in Greek whenever they wanted to talk about the outside the atmosphere heavens. They used that word. And he said, and when they wanted to talk about what was inside the atmosphere, they used this word. Ether was there and air was here. And when we're told that the devil is the prince of the power of the air, in Ephesians chapter 2, we tend to think that the devil's main sphere of activity is in the atmosphere, that he's in the air around us. Now, don't be afraid to breathe. We can't breathe him in that way. I think it is so interesting. Kenneth Weiss said this as well. He said that when the Lord Jesus comes to take us home, he comes into the air. He invades the devil's sphere of activity and calls us up to be with him. I think that's terrific. The Lord Jesus is triumphant over the devil. He's not afraid of the devil at all. So here then we see the next line there. He's also seen as being deeply involved in deceiving the nations. That's in verse 3 and verses and chapter 13. Look in chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 in Revelation. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power. The dragon gave him his power. So the Antichrist, that's referred to in verses 1 and 2, gets his power, his throne, his great authority from the devil himself. And chapter 12, in verse 4, we see that the great red dragon has an influence that reaches even into the heavens. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and cast them to the ground. Well, we believe that's a reference to angels. Here's a question for you, even if we don't finish any further than this. Is this drawing of angels away, fallen angels, demons, we call the fallen angels demons, is this a reference only to the first rebellion, or is this something that also happens here in Revelation chapter 12? Are there more angels that are drawn out of heaven? I don't know the answer to that. Do you know the answer to that? No, well, how am I going to find out anything? There is a war in heaven. Well, look in verse 9. You're right, where it talks about the war in heaven in verse 7. And then you find in verse 9, the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Are those the original angels that rebelled? I've always thought so. But are there any more that can fall? If so, we don't know of any verses that propose that possibility. I'm just wondering. Les?
There's a lot of things that we have to know again, too. We look at Genesis 3, verse 11,
sons of God and daughters of men. It's good that the Lord doesn't tell all these things. I probably would never sleep again. Do you feel like that sometimes? Here, I'm going to give you this, and you can throw songbooks at me all during this preaching service this morning, but I found a verse in Zechariah that talks about two women that appear to be angels, and they have the wind in their wings. And I say, there aren't any lady angels, are there? And so every once in a while, I throw that at Brother Floyd. I say, Brother Floyd, are there lady angels? You know, and he just throws it back at me. So, okay, but there are so many things we don't know.
Satan's sphere is in the air, in the atmosphere. Only stands to reason that his fallen angels are coming back and forth to him for direction and instruction. So
very true. Principalities and powers. I'm going to make a mark here in my notes, and we're going to come back here next week because there's no sense in 30 seconds trying to cover the rest of the page. Does anybody have a question? Anyone have a question or an insight you want to share with us? Wayne, Fiona does. Fiona, what's your insight? Now tell me, Ezekiel 28, you say? Tabrets and pipes are musical instruments. And tabrets are a percussion instrument, sort of like a tambourine, I think, something like that. Am I wrong? Straighten me out. Pipes, we understand, wind instruments. Okay? And so, did the devil have literally in his person musical instruments created when he was created? Or was his musical ability so great that it was like he had musical instruments included in him?
We all have windpipes.
We have windpipes
that we can use to sing.
Sometimes bullfrogs, sometimes canaries, but we've got them, don't we? That's right. Okay, let's stop. Our time is gone. We need to stop for the kids' sake. Cam, could you pray for us, please? Thank you very much.